want to just speak for a few minutes about the miracles of Christmas that we've been talking about this morning. And in a lot of ways in society, we've kind of dumbed down Christmas. We've made it into something that it's not really meant to be. Even when you use the term or the statement, the miracles of Christmas, that can bring a lot of different things to people's minds. Some might think of Tim the Tool Man and how the miracle occurred and he became Santa Claus. Well, you see, that wasn't a miracle. Even if they call it a miracle, that's what you call a fairy tale. It really didn't occur. Or you might think, some of you, when you hear the miracles of Christmas, you might think of a series put on by the Hallmark Channel, right? How many people watch the miracles of Christmas? And if you watch them, you'll see that they're all very much the same. There will be this beautiful girl, and she will meet a very handsome man. Eventually, they'll fall in love. They'll kiss and live happily ever after. But you see, that's not really a miracle either. If we want to think about the true meaning of the miracles of Christmas, we have to realize that what we are doing is we are talking about one of the greatest events that has ever occurred in the history of mankind. I would even suggest that up until that time, it was the greatest event that had ever occurred. Because at that time, the God of heaven, the one who created the worlds, the one who sustained them by the word of his power, he became flesh. He entered into the world as a baby. And he was given that beautiful name, Jesus. And the angels could say, "For he shall save his people from their sins." And so at that time, it was a tremendous event. An event that we will never forget. When God became man. Now, what is a miracle? Well, a simple definition of a miracle is a miracle occurs when God does something that's impossible for man to do. That's my definition, anyway, of a miracle. God does something that it's impossible for man to do. Now, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking how that miracles are a little bit like fireworks. Because I'm sure all of you have gone to see fireworks, right? And so you're standing out there in the cold at night and it's dark. And all of a sudden, you'll hear a bit of a pop and you'll look up into the sky. And if there's a lot of people out there with you, you will hear, "Whoa, look at that. It's amazing." And then you'll wait for a few minutes, and then another firework will go off, and there'll be the same reaction. And I was thinking of how that the miracles associated with the birth, the life, and the death of the Lord Jesus are a bit like fireworks. And we've been looking at five of them this morning. Like, we had the miracle of God's grace. And in that miracle, we saw Elizabeth and we saw Mary. And God did something there that no one else could do. He took Elizabeth and she became a child when she was way too old to have a child. And then he picked a young girl, Mary, who was a virgin. And she became with child. Like, that's impossible for man to do. But with God, all things are possible. And don't you think that in that day, when people saw what has happened, don't you think they would have stood back and said, whoa, look at that. How can these things be? Look at Elizabeth. She'd been waiting forever for a child. And now when we all thought it was impossible, it's possible. She's going to have a child. And then Mary and all the rumors that must have circulated because of this young girl who was a virgin, and yet she became with child. A miracle that only God can do. And then we went on to the next one, the miracle of God's announcement. Going to the shepherds. Who else could command the angels and tell them to go to the hills that surrounded Bethlehem, to a particular group of humble men, and to tell them the great news that a Savior was born, and then to guide them to the stable where the Savior and his mother could be found, and they were able to worship him. And I'm sure that when the shepherds told people their story, that people would stop and they'd say, how can these things be? It's amazing. And I'm sure that there were some that didn't even believe them, that they figured they were just making it up. But we know that it was true, and God did something that man could not do. And then we move on to the miracle of God's promises. And we saw Simeon and Anna up here. And how God had promised something, and then he carried out his promise. And you know, that's true in all of Scripture. God has made many promises, and every promise that God has ever made, he's carried it out. Can you say that? Because I can't. I mean, we're not like that. I'm sure every one of us has made a promise at one time or another, and we failed to carry out the promise. Maybe we didn't carry it all out because we didn't have the ability to do what we promised. But when God promises something, he has the ability to do whatever he promises. And so the miracle of God's promises. And again, when Anna and Simeon would have told others, people would have been amazed. And then we went on to the miracle of God's guidance. We had the wise men. Who else could do that? Who else could command the stars and have a star guide them to the exact place where the child was so that they could present to him their gold, their frankincense, and myrrh? The miracle of God's guidance. And then we had the miracle of God's provision and how that he provided for Mary and he provided for Joseph and he saved them from the enemy. Like just amazing things, miracle after miracle associated with the birth of the Lord Jesus. You know, everything associated with the birth of the Lord Jesus, I can tell you it was not by chance. God orchestrated it all. God chose Elizabeth. God chose Mary. God chose Joseph. God even chose Herod to be on the throne. And even though Herod and all his wickedness did such a dastardly deed, God used him. But even though God used him, let me assure you that Herod is still being held responsible for his actions. And that's true in life, isn't it? God might use something that we do, and it might be something that's not right and not proper and sinful, and God might use it, but we're still held responsible for every action that we take. And I think it's important for us to remember that. And so God chose it all. Now, as we go through the life of the Lord Jesus, his life was marked by miracles. I mean, we can't go into them all. Don't really have time to go into hardly any of them, but think of how that he healed the sick. And people must have stood back and said, wow, like how can he do this? And then think of the time that he calmed the storm. And they said, even the waves and the winds, they obey him. And then another time, remember him feeding the multitudes. Can you imagine those disciples going around and saying, would you like some fish and bread? And then looking in the basket, they took it out and it's still there. Going to the next guy, took it out and it's still there. Imagine feeding 5,000 people, I believe it was, with such a small amount. And that was a miracle of the Lord Jesus. Think of the one who gave sight to the blind. Think of the one who was able to raise the dead. And throughout his life, miracle after miracle occurred. And people had to stand back and wonder as the baby who was born in Bethlehem proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was just no mere baby. He was the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh. But you know, I was thinking how that when I watch fireworks, I don't know whether you're the same as me, but when I watch fireworks, I'm always waiting for one thing. What's that? The grand finale. And you know what? I was thinking how that with the Lord Jesus, there was a grand finale in his life. And it actually occurred just like it does in fireworks. It occurred at the very end. And think of all the miracles associated with the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of the Lord Jesus. Tremendous miracles. When the Son of God laid down his own life upon the cross. When he was beaten beyond recognition and yet not a bone of his body was broken. And when the one who was able to dismiss his own spirit was able to raise himself from the dead. Like, talk about miracles, and yet we believe it, that the one who died for us, the one who gave himself upon the cross in order that we might have eternal life, that same one was raised from the dead, and then he ascended back up to the Father. Tremendous miracles. And so you might stand back and say, well, is this the grand finale? You know, the last time I watched fireworks, I got fooled. I was standing there, and I thought, okay, that's it, ready to go in the house. And then all of a sudden, pop, up goes another one. And you know, that's sort of the way it is with the Lord Jesus. You see, his death, we might think of it as a grand finale, but there's more miracles just ahead. And I would like to submit to you that some of the greatest miracles that have ever and will ever occur are occurring today, in the day which we live. Now, I have experienced a couple of miracles in my life that I'll never forget. One of them was a physical miracle. I don't have time to go into it, but if you want to know about it and you don't, you just ask me. I love telling people. But the other one happened when I was a boy. And it wasn't a physical miracle. It was a spiritual miracle. That was when I accepted Christ as my Savior. That's when I realized that I was a sinner. I was without hope. And I said yes to the Lord Jesus. And there were tremendous things that took place. I was like a blind man. I was in spiritual darkness. And I went from darkness to light. And the same thing has happened to you if you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus. Imagine that. You got your eyesight. Hey, we were also spiritually lame. There was nothing we could do to please God. And all of a sudden, we're put in a position where we can walk to please God. We were dead in our sins and we were made alive. All of those miracles that the Lord Jesus performed while he was here on earth, I believe that every one of those miracles were pictures of what happens to the believer when they trust Christ as Savior. And so there's lots of miracles to come. In fact, these miracles that I'm talking about now, they're happening every day because the scripture tells us that the Lord, or that God, is adding to the church every day. People are being saved by God's grace. The miracle of salvation is occurring. I love talking about the miracle of salvation because, you see, it's real to me. I know what it is. And my heart's desire and the longing of my heart is that each one listening this morning, whether you're online or whether you're gathered here this morning to see such a wonderful program for Christmas, my heart's desire is that you would experience the miracle of salvation, that you would believe on the one who came to save his people from their sins, and having put your trust in him, you will experience a miracle like none other. But my friend, you need to do that. It's of utmost importance. It's the most important thing in life, and that is to trust Christ as your Savior, the one who was born in Bethlehem, who lived a perfect life and yet died and rose again. You know, we could talk about miracles for a long time, but I know some of you are wanting to get home for lunch, so we're going to let you go. And we really do thank you for coming this morning. We thank you to all the musicians. I mean, it was amazing. As an old grandfather, I have to tell you this one little story. And Charlotte's not going to like it. But when Charlotte was just a little girl, I had the privilege of taking her to musical awareness, I think they called it. And I watched Charlotte, and I thought, she'll never get this, right? She was sitting in front of me, and she turned around, and she gave me that winning smile. And she got up off her chair, and she came back and sat on my foot. So she was wanting me to bounce her on my foot. And she was trying to be taught music. It's amazing what can happen. Right? Like, such a beautiful musician. And honestly, I thought, oh boy. And even all the musicians here this morning, like, beautiful playing. And we thank you for it. And then the actors, well, I mean, they just blow us away. Like, who would have thought Ken and Gail? Right? I think Ken missed his calling in life. You know, and Andrew Sarlo or Tom. Like, Tom, where'd you get that accent? And then Nathan. Well, I think either Nathan could take Farmer Dave's place. So I think they got it. They can decide who wants to do it, but Farmer Dave's finished. Anyway, thank you for coming. We wish each one God's richest blessing this Christmas. And we're going to close in prayer. And then Maggie, I think, is coming up to make the closing comments. And again, Maggie, you did a wonderful job at emceeing this. And we appreciate each one who has been here this morning. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his coming into the world to lay down his life upon a cross in order that we might have salvation. Father, it amazes us. Miracles amaze us. The Lord Jesus amazes us. He's altogether lovely. He's the fairest of 10,000. There is none like him in all the world. And we're thankful this morning that he not only was born, he not only lived and died, but that he rose from the dead. And this morning we worship and we serve a risen Savior. And we're looking back, or we're looking forward to the miracle of his return when he comes back to receive from the world his own, and when he will reign in righteousness, and he will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We give thanks for the Lord Jesus and for your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.